There's a really interesting question at the heart of the parable that we're going to look at today. Why does God allow good and evil to coexist in the world? Right, there are many, many good people out there who are gracious and generous, who will go out of their way to help other people, to benefit them. And yet, there are just as many people who would just as soon drive over you to get what they want than help. This kind of begs the question, why does God allow that? Why does God allow good and evil to exist so side by side? Why doesn't he just wipe out the evil so that there is only good left? That's the question that really lies at the heart of our parable today. And I would invite you to turn with me in Matthew 13 to look at this parable together. If you turn to Matthew 13, we're going to start in verse 24 and reflect on why God doesn't just get rid of the bad guys. So Matthew 13:24 falls hot on the heels of the parable of the sower, the four soils that we talked about last week. And since Jesus is already talking about farming, he gives us another agricultural metaphor to reflect on. And here it is in verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds into the wheat, weeds into the wheat, and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'Collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Now, remember that the people who are hearing this, Jesus' talk reflected in Matthew 13, have never heard this story before. this is all they hear, a story about a farmer who plants some seeds and an enemy comes in and puts some weeds. So let's just spend some time thinking in the world of the parable. The kingdom of heaven on earth, Jesus says, is like this. There's a farmer who goes out to sow seed. And the seed is good. Did you notice that? A couple of times he says, "This is good seed." He is putting seed that's not rotten, it's not spoiled, it doesn't start to sprout already. He expects that this seed will grow. But at some point in the night, some guy comes along, sneaks in, and sows weeds in among the wheat. Now, I learned something interesting this week, which is that it's not the generic word weeds that's there. It's a specific kind of weed that this parable talks about. Zizania, which is not like zizinias. Zizania is the name of it, and you can see a picture on the handout there. Bearded darnel is what it is that Jesus is referring to. Lolium tementulum, if you like that taxonomy stuff. It looks like wheat. It looks like wheat until it starts to fruit, and then you can tell the difference between weeds and wheat. So you've got weeds in this field now, and it's not like a cucumber, a dandelion in the midst of your cucumbers. You're talking about weeds that look like the wheat that's growing. When the grain starts to form, the manservants realize, wait, something's up. Say, "Farmer, didn't you sow good seed?" Again, we're told it's good seed. And he says, "Well, an enemy must have done that. Well, should we rip it up?" "No," he says, "don't rip up the weeds. Because if you rip up the weeds, you're going to rip up the wheat. And I want what the wheat is going to grow. So let them grow together, and then at the harvest we can separate the two." That's what the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus said. A farmer who sowed seed, which gets sabotaged by an enemy, which the farmer nonetheless tolerates, so that when the harvest comes, he'll separate the two. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It teaches us three things about how God works in the world these days. Weeds and wheat grow together. The farmer tolerates the weeds to let the wheat grow, and the weeds will be incinerated in the end, while the wheat will go into the barn. I'm a little surprised that Jesus didn't end this parable with, if you have ears to hear, listen, because this is very much one of those kinds of parables. And yet he doesn't. If you look in verse 31, you can see that he has more parables that he wants to tell. But the point stands, right? If we want to hear what this parable really has to say, we have to have ears to hear. We have to want to hear it, because this parable is not just about weeds and wheat, right? This parable is about God's long-term plan for dealing with good and evil in the world. And we know that because a little while later, Jesus' disciples come to him and say, Jesus, teach us what that parable meant. Look in verse 36. Explain to us the parables of the weeds in the field. Out of all the parables that they heard Jesus tell that day, apparently this one stuck out to them, and they wanted to know, Jesus, tell us what this actually means. And this is actually by far the most detailed description of a parable that Jesus gives. Like, usually we hear the world of the parable, and we're sort of left to draw the conclusions between the world of the parable and the world that we live in. Here, though, Jesus just lays it all out for us. Verse 37. The one who sowed the good seed, well, that's the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. If you have ears to hear, listen. There it is. This is not just about farming, is it? This is all about what God's going to do about good and evil in the world. So let's talk it through. The field in the parable is the world in real life. The sower in the parable is the Son of Man. It's Jesus. The good seed, the wheat, are people who hear the message of salvation that Jesus brings, who respond to that message, and who bear fruit and grow. In last week's terms, these are the good soil people, right? Just like John 1:12 says, to all who believe, Jesus gives the right to become children of God. In the language of the parable, then, when we believe, Jesus plants us into the kingdom as good seed. As sons and daughters of the kingdom, then, we are made that way because of what Jesus did. You know, it just strikes me, there is this kind of a second, I'm going to give you the first answer, I'm going to give you the second answer first. Why doesn't God just wipe it all out? What does it say? Verse 41. Everything that causes sin and all who do evil. This is the problem that we wrestle with, which is that if God were just to come in and wipe out sin, I'd be gone, you'd be gone, we'd all be gone. And yet, by the grace of God, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we don't get wiped away in the flood. When we believe, we become children of God. In the language of the parable, Jesus plants us as his children. We are thus good seed, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is and what he did for us. So, okay, the good seed then is us, we who believe. The bad seed, or the weeds, are people who hear the very same message, essentially what I just told you, and for whatever reason decide, no, I'm not going to listen to that. I don't want to submit my life to that idea. I don't care about God. They are, in the language of the parable, bad seed. They are the children of the devil. Good and evil, then, maybe better to say redeemed and unredeemed people, live side by side in the world, some doing good, some doing evil, which brings us back to our question, why does God allow that to happen in the first place? If God is all-powerful and all good, why doesn't he just wipe out the evil? Well, I thought I'd bring an illustration for today. You've probably been looking at this sad bouquet thinking, what is Graham doing? It's an object lesson. And I wasn't going to go out and steal wheat from somebody's field. But I figured the flowers are just as good, right? Because the wheat, you want something good. Jesus doesn't come along and just wipe out all the weeds because, let's see, let's take out the weeds from this. What's going to happen? I expected that to be more dramatic than I... Look what happens! If you tear out the weeds, there's a towel down here, so we'll clean it up later. That's why. While you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Verse 29. When Jesus plants us as good seed, he anticipates that we will grow and bear fruit for the kingdom, right? And he wants to give us every opportunity to do that. The bad seeds in the parable, you know, they get a lot of attention because of the whole burning up at the end thing. But we can't forget this, and we as a community especially can't forget this. When a farmer plants a seed, what does he expect to get? Something good, right? Fruit, a crop. The farmer anticipates that something's going to grow. Same with Jesus. He plants us as good seed, expecting that we will bear fruit and reflect his character into the world. And he allows evil and good to sit side by side so that the good can grow and overshadow the evil until in the end the weeds are torn out. And notice we are, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are good seed. Twice in this parable, Jesus says, the seed is good. Which means that if you believe and follow Jesus, you are good seed. Ain't nothing wrong with the seed. God has put within you the potential to grow and to do great things for the kingdom. He has given you the capacity, everything you need, to communicate the goodness of God to the world around you. And he's giving you time to do that. God doesn't want to root out good while he roots out evil. And so he waits patiently, anticipating the end. And there will be an end. There will be a harvest. Verse 41, Jesus says that time is coming. A time of judgment where every person gives account for what we have done with our lives. The people who have kept on living for themselves, ignoring God, doing what's right in their eyes, no matter what God would say about it, they're going to be gathered up like weeds, thrown into the furnace. The people who have received the gospel and lived in light of it and borne fruit, they're going to, what does it say, shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's a picture of a glorious reward that we get after walking with him through life. The faithful are brought into the presence of God just as the wheat is brought into the barn. Just like the parable, I think we can sum this up in three ideas, right? In the kingdom of God on earth, wheat and weeds are going to grow side by side. Two, Jesus tolerates the weeds now to give us a chance to grow. Three, when the harvest comes, the weeds will be incinerated while the wheat is gathered into God's presence. God lets good and evil coexist in the world to give us time to grow, to bear fruit, to show who he is until he finally does away with evil forever. What do I want you to do with this? Do you know the saying, he's growing like a weed, right? I keep saying that about Ben all the time. He's growing like a weed. He's growing like a weed. We say that like kids. Well, don't grow like a weed. Grow like a child of God. Don't grow like a weed. Grow like a child of God. Jesus shows us here in this parable that there are two ways of living. There's just two. The first is to live for yourself, ignoring God, doing whatever seems right to you, regardless of the cost to other people. That's growing like a weed. What happens to weeds? They get gathered up, crackle, crackle, fire. You don't want to be a weed. Don't grow like a weed. Instead, grow like a child of God. When you live as a child of God, rooted and established by Jesus himself, you get ready for what's coming. When you believe in Jesus and become a child of God, God plants you as good seed in the world, right? He plants you, each of you, are planted as a force for good. And it'd be awesome if we grew to the point that we overshadow the weeds and show only the goodness of God. So listen, nurture your faith as a child of God. Abide in Jesus. Right? Spend time with him so that in abiding with him, you will bear fruit. Live in a way that reflects the character of Jesus. You know, it's helpful for us to maybe stop and to think, okay, am I more like a weed or wheat when it comes to the language that I use? Am I more like a weed or wheat when it comes to the things that I consume, whether it be substances or media? Am I acting in the world the way a weed would, or am I being wheat, the precious wheat that Jesus has made me to be? Invite the Spirit within you to bear fruit so that people will see that God is good and know with utter confidence that when you live like that, you are going to be gathered into the presence of God forever. So don't grow like a weed. Grow like a child of God. Let's pray together. Jesus, I confess that there is a time that I was very much a weed. I lived for myself. I did what was right in my own eyes. I justified my behavior, even though your Spirit in my conscience said, no, Graham, this is not what God has made you to be. This is far short of who God has made you to be. And I recognize that I could not change myself from weed into wheat. But you did that. Jesus, you died on the cross to wipe out everything evil about me. You gave me your own righteousness. You planted me as a good seed, as wheat to grow in the world, to be a blessing to the world. That's my story. That's the story of every person here who has listened to you and said, yes, I need you, Lord. I want to walk with you. I pray that you will help us to be that good seed. Help us to grow, you know, to gather back or to flip back to the metaphors of last week. Jesus, be the gardener again. Come and work in our hearts so that the seed of the gospel, of salvation, of your love for us, let it grow into something beautiful that we might be a blessing to the world now, that we would not be overcome by evil, but that we would overcome evil with good. And Lord, for those of us who are nearing the end of our journey, we pray that we would have great confidence knowing that since we have been planted and lived with you, walked with you, you will gather us into your presence to be rejoiced in, and that we might rejoice in you. Lord, work in us. Help us to bear good fruit this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.